Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our first reading this morning from the Psalms, from Psalm 40. I invite you to listen for God's word for you. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. Amen. Our second reading this morning is Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 7. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and the Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Noted preacher and professor of homiletics Leonora Tubbs Tisdale once went to Hawaii with her husband. While there, they visited Volcanoes National Park, where she found the enormous craters on the top of the mountain intriguing. She said that up close, the craters with steam rising out of them were a lot larger and more threatening looking than the television pictures she had seen. They then saw the lava fields that covered the mountainside, where the craters had spewed steam and molten rock. They periodically got out of their car to walk across the vast expanse of hard, gray-black rock, sometimes 10 to 15 feet deep, which virtually covered everything in its path. She said, the sight of so much barren desolation was so grim, it was depressing. It was as if all hope of life and vitality had been snuffed out when the great mountain erupted. In our reading from Isaiah today, we hear a hopeful word for those who had been in the grim and depressing times of exile. They had been overtaken by the Babylonians. Their homes and temples were destroyed. Their nation was in ruin. They were in captivity. Where was their hope for them? How could they hope when it appeared that God had abandoned them, with their future looking as bleak as a lava field? Why hope at all? That's a pretty good question. Why should they hope? Why should we hope? It can be hard to hope when you look around and see conflict and misery in the world. It can be even harder to hope when you see conflict and misery in your own life. It is difficult to hope when you see only the vast lava fields of life around you. And that is what we see so much these days, isn't it? And yet it is in these times that we are told to sing. Yes, sing. If we look just six verses after our reading from Isaiah ended today, we find this. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his suffering ones. Right in the midst of the suffering of captivity and exile, the Hebrews hear a word of hope, promise, and new life where no one would expect to find any hope. But God can turn the darkness into light. At this point in their history, the tribes of Israel have been scattered. God says in verse 6, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. God has something bigger in mind. I will give you as a light to the nations that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Bringing back the Jewish people into one nation is not enough for God. Instead, God has in mind bigger things, the salvation of the whole world. God says his servant will be a light to the nations. In the darkness shines a light. We have all experienced the dark times. There are times in our life when God's presence seems far away. And this is not new. The Hebrews knew it. The ancients knew it. St. John of the Cross knew it in the 16th century when he wrote a poem called Dark Night of the Soul. That phrase has become a shorthand for a particular crisis of faith, a point in one's own spiritual life when there is a certain loneliness and desolation. The dark night of the soul. The psalmist knew of darkness. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 13. It's one of those passages that people are amazed when they find out that this is actually in their Bibles. The psalmist writes this, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken." You're not alone when you cry out to God. When you cannot feel the presence of God, you can say with the psalmist, "How long, O Lord?" and then demand, "Answer me, O Lord my God." I see the psalmist with a fist raised toward heaven yelling, "Answer me!" We all know darkness. And yet that psalm, Psalm 13, concludes with these lines. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. In the midst of darkness, desolation, fear, uncertainty, hatred, evil, We can hope. We can remember that our God is good. We can sing to the Lord with hearts filled with hope. We are not alone. The psalmist knew of darkness. Dietrich Bonhoeffer knew of darkness. Bonhoeffer was a theologian and pastor in Germany who was arrested and imprisoned and later sent to a Nazi concentration camp. He was later executed in that camp after being imprisoned there for 2 years. While in prison, he was a great inspiration to his fellow prisoners and even to the guards. He saw every day as a day to serve and thank God, even in prison, in a concentration camp. Shortly before his death, he wrote a prayer of thanksgiving and praise. In it, he says, "I cannot do this alone. In me, there is darkness, but with you, there is light." Even in the midst of a concentration camp, Bonhoeffer pointed us to the light of God. He continues in that prayer, "I am lonely, but you do not leave me. I am feeble in heart, but with you there is help. I am restless, but with you there is peace. In me there is bitterness, but with you there is patience. I do not understand your ways, but you know the way for me. Enable me to live now that I may answer before you and before men, Lord, whatever this day may bring, your name be praised. Amen." Bonhoeffer knew his own limitations and God's limitless possibilities. He knew that God's light was the answer to his dark night. And he knew that the most important thing is that God's name may be praised, whatever the day brings. He knew where to find God in the midst of the lava field. And we've learned that even Mother Teresa knew of the dark night of the soul. In letters to her superiors that were released in 2007, Mother Teresa spoke of very often not even feeling God's presence. In the midst of the suffering and poverty which she willingly took on, she often called out to God and felt she did not receive an answer. She wrote letters to a few trusted priests, sometimes detailing her prayers. The smiling Mother Teresa in photos and videos we've all seen indicates nothing of this. Other nuns working closely with her for decades did not know of the dark period of her life. In the midst of her own private suffering, she did not lose her faith. In the darkness, she clung to her purpose, saying to God, "If this brings you glory, if souls are brought to you, God, with joy, I accept all to the end of my life." She found joy in fulfilling God's purpose for her life, even when not feeling God's presence. One priest shared with her that feeling Jesus is not the only proof of his being there, and that her very craving for God was a sure sign of his hidden presence in her life. And so she carried on her task of serving people, serving God's people, almost always with a smile. In the midst of the lava field, she could, like the Hebrews, sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth, break forth, O mountains, into singing. And the man whose birthday and life we celebrate tomorrow, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., certainly knew of darkness. He fought for justice and equality, and he suffered for his stand. He lived under the threat of assassination, and some of his last speeches seemed to indicate he knew the end was near. 2 months before he was killed, he told his congregation at Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta that he'd been thinking about his funeral. He told them not to let the preacher talk about his Nobel Peace Prize or other awards. He said, "I'd like someone to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I'd like someone to say that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my life to clothe those who were naked. I want you to be able to say that I did try to visit those in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity." He closed that speech by saying that he wanted to make of this old world a new world. Dr. King, who lived under attack, certainly knew darkness. Yet he tried to live his life in service of God and others. He found the light of God in service, in seeking to bring us all together. He found light in trying to make of this old world a new world. And so if the Hebrews can find joy in God while in exile, if Dietrich Bonhoeffer can find joy in God while in a concentration camp, if Mother Teresa can find joy in serving God among the poor, if Dr. King can find joy in God in the midst of such great hostility, it gives us great hope. It gives us hope that in the lava fields of our own lives, we can find joy in God. For if you look carefully in the cracks of the lava, you'll see tiny shoots of new plants growing there. In the midst of the desolation and destruction of a volcano comes new life. God is there. God cares. Even in the darkest of nights, there is light. And that light is a light to the nations, that God's salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.